Well, good morning, and I greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to be with you, and I thank you for praying. Last Sunday, I missed church due to a back injury, and thank God that I'm feeling, I wouldn't say I'm 100%, but I'm feeling very good, so thank you for your prayers on that behalf, and thank you also for praying. In regards to the message this morning, I've been blessed with the service as far as well, and different threads that were mentioned tie in very well with what I plan to share this morning. I will say, if you're disappointed Brother Matt can't be here, I was too. One of the things that did help is I had took some time off work, and I was working on a message, although I didn't feel like I was prepared to bring it this Sunday. I just had to grab a couple gears and get prepared, right? But the Altoona congregation had asked me to come down and preach for them next Sunday, and they had given me a topic for the evening, and it's titled Connecting with Our Community. And I didn't think it should be that hard of a topic, and yet when I studied to deliver I guess I did struggle with maybe where all to go and where to come out and what all to touch on, because it is a big topic. But that is what I plan to share with you this morning. And I guess if you have input or things I should change or bring out that I miss, I'm open to your input on that. Since you are in some ways getting the trial run. I did appreciate that first song we sang this morning opened with I Would Love Thee. And as you think about your relationship with Christ, you know, we sing that I would love thee. What way do you show your love for Christ? When we say we love Christ, is it simply in devotion? Like, okay, we're going to have prayer time and we're going to spend time reading the Word. Is that how we love Christ? Jesus, we're going to get there, but Jesus talked about how we love Him in our daily lives, right? And so I feel like that ties in with connecting with our community, how we love Christ. When we have Christ's love in us, I believe it will come out. You may turn to Luke 4 a while. Thinking about connecting with our community, why? I had contemplated going down over reasons we're not connected with our community, and I didn't like how that I didn't feel like that was the thrust of what we're looking for. But there is reasons. There's some maybe good reasons that we're not super tied in and connected with our community, and yet there's reasons we should be connected with our community, right? And so I start with one question. Did Jesus connect with his community? You think about that. Did Christ connect with his community? Because ultimately we want to try to follow Christ's example as much as model that as close as possible, right? And so if we look at Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, this is what we might call Jesus' mission statement. It's what he came for. He said, this is why I'm here. He says in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And then in verse 19, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He said, "This is why I came." And I had to think, you know, if I was to sit down and say, okay, I'm 37, what is my mission statement? What is my mission of my life? What is my purpose? And how much of those verses that we just read of Christ's mission statement, how much can we adopt that straight into our lives? And maybe to an extent that was specifically for him. But we see an attitude of maybe servanthood. He's here to connect with the people with needs. He's here to preach. He's here to heal. He's here to preach, to set free the captives, sight for the blind, heal the bruised. Can we do that in our community? Can we make a difference in those ways in our community? And maybe the struggle is not so much can we, but do we want to? And briefly, I'd just like to consider probably the reason we maybe struggle, one of the biggest reasons we struggle to connect with our community is because it takes effort. It takes, it doesn't come naturally because it takes caring about other people, and naturally we care about ourselves, right? You know, I don't know how it is in other cultures, because I grew up here. We're several things. We're Americans, we're Mennonites, and we're Christians, right? Those are cultural titles, things, words that describe us. And, you know, I think it's pretty easy for us to embrace the American and the Mennonite sometimes, but maybe Christian gets secondary or third. And we embrace our cultures. And as Americans, you know, as an American, because I'm an American, that equals X, Y, and Z, right? Well, actually, it equals A to Z, because in American culture, we have it pretty much all. And we believe we can have it all and still love Christ. Jerry talked about in Sunday school, when we're following Christ, and we have to follow directions. I forget exactly how it was worded, but he said, you know, if we want to go north, we don't head south. And I didn't say it in Sunday school, but I said, in our minds, we think, well, I could probably head southwest. I think it's nice over there, and I kind of want to go that direction. And we fool ourselves, and I you know, so often we are, I think, we're not that much different from the Israelites. We're human. We have selfish nature. We have a carnal nature that we deal with. We want to gratify self, right? And we have so much. And I believe, you know, maybe my generation especially, and somewhere around my age on down, has bought into the great American life because it feels good, and we get what we want. We can have cake and ice cream several times over. You know, we can have a good life. But you know, that attitude, it doesn't easily make room for Christ's teaching. You don't have to turn to it, but over in Luke 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And what is the heartbeat of this verse? You know, Christ says you have to deny yourself. Do we know what it means to deny ourselves? Like, to what extent? A quote by David Gusick. He says, "Denying yourself means to live as an others-centered person. Jesus was the only person to do this perfectly, but we are to follow in his steps." An other-centered person. It's easy and natural for us to be self-centered. We can see that especially in our children or other people, right? An other-centered person. Am I an other-centered person? Sometimes we hear that phrase, maybe this ties in, he would give you the shirt off his back. What do they mean by that? It has the idea of extreme generosity, self-sacrifice, signifies a person that is so kind they would give away their last possession to just be a blessing and help others, right? I'm told of a local pastor in this area known for his generosity, and one day one of his grown boys disguised himself and went to his dad's house and tested his dad on how he would respond. And I don't have all the details of the story, but I do find it fascinating. From what I understand, he passed the test. I'm not sure if he called on partway through though or not, but are we known for other-centered? Are we known for generosity? Are we known for being full of Christ? And that's kind of why I bring some of that into connecting with the community, because we're not going to connect with the community if my life is about me. But the more we have Christ in our lives, the more we can see others through his lens, the lenses of him, his love for humanity and the hurting that needs healed in humanity. There must be more of Christ living in us than self, or self will win. Without Christ, we are self-bound. We are naturally a self-centered person, not an other's person. It's all about me. Being like Christ changes us from the inside and will create a heart of love and compassion for the lost. We must have that heart like Christ if we will care about our community. If we want to connect with our community, we have to have a heart for them. Christ modeled a life that had time for people even when he was tired. Christ modeled a life that had time for people even when he was hungry. He modeled a life that had time for children even when he was busy. Christ modeled a life that was about the good of others more than himself. Christ was truly other-centered. And again, I ask that, what is my life model? What is your life model? Whose good are you and I about every day? And there's an element where we are responsible to take care of ourselves. We're not talking about that. And we're not going to read it, but if you go down through the rest of chapter 4, right after Jesus gave this mission statement, there's multiple recordings and examples of him living out what he said he had come for. He preached the good news. He cast out devils. He healed Peter's mother-in-law of fever. And in verse 40, it says, "Now when the sun was setting," it was the end of the day. I'm sure he was probably tired. all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. It wasn't too late. He didn't hang up the clothes sign. Oh, we're done. It says he healed every one of them. Jesus connected with his community through his teaching and his miracles. We can't do the miracles. But it's also very clear in studying his life, he was here to serve and make a difference in people's lives. And I believe if we want to connect with our community, it will likely be through our service and investing of time in those around us. Noticing the needs and using our precious time to help them. Here's a question. Why is your time so precious? Why is time so precious? Is it precious because it's my time? Or is it precious because you're investing it into the kingdom and you have people to help and things to do? It was interesting. Brother Derwin there at home in school meeting Friday night said, you know, when we waste time on our phones, we're stealing from God. That jumped out at me. We say time is precious, and yet we can find time so easy to just waste on a screen. There are many daily examples we could look at to stir our minds about connecting with the community. I have a few I would like to share that I've either observed or experienced myself. And I want to give them just to help stir our minds and maybe draw connection. Along with these examples, I have multiple quotes from Mother Teresa. And at the end of the message, I also have her description of who she described herself as. And there may be controversial thoughts about who she was and what she did as far as... But the bottom line is she lived a life of sacrifice and giving to the poor, reaching out to the poor and outcasts of the world. And as I thought about connecting with the community, she kind of jumped out as an example of someone who gave themselves to reach the community. One other thing I want to say is we have to remember the community around us is without anyone without Christ, and there's a lot of people without Christ, is lost and hurting. Needs, they need, whether they realize it or not, they need the love of Jesus in their life. And we, if we know that, if we have it, we need to give that to them. One personal way in my growing up years that I connected with the community was through the Bible Discoveries work in Lebanon. And I joined that when I was 19. It had been going for several years by that point. There was anywhere from 60 to 100 children or more every Thursday night. And I was involved with that for, I believe, about 7 years. And over that time, I made many friends. I got to know many families. Met many children. And some of them I got to even watch grow up. 7 years is long enough that some of them became young men and women. But I quit that when the twins were born. I dropped out of that work. What I wanted to say as well before I get too much further, that work consisted of Thursday nights. But as you get to know people, what do? You start spending more time with them. And what would happen is I got to know some of the boys pretty well, and I would take them back to our farm, and we would spend time on the farm. And sometimes we, you know, drove around in some of the old cars or trucks, or, you know, we had horses, and sometimes we would ride horses at the farm. There was times we even took them into the city there where they, some of those children lived, and gave them rides in there. And so what happened is, by being involved Thursday night, relationships were made and more time was invested into the community through there. But when I dropped out, some of that kind of stopped. Was it over? Not totally. There was one evening, some of these young men showed up at Cheryl and I's house, and they were pretty wound up because earlier that day they had been involved in some kind of gang fight, and there was a gun involved, and some shots were fired. No one was killed or hurt or injured, but the police came, and one of what I would call my boys got picked up by the police and taken in, and he was one of their circle of friends, obviously, as well, and this was kind of a big deal. And I find it interesting, where did they go? You know, and I've thought about it over the years, like, maybe they wanted to get away from home because they were avoiding the police. But there was a connection built over the years, relationship made there, that Shirley and I were one of the places that they went to. And we can be that when we have a relationship made with our community. We can be maybe a refuge or a haven for them, a safe place in a sense. We don't have Bible discoveries here, but you know, it only takes one person with a vision, and you know, I can make as many excuses or more than the next person. But one day I was blessed to hear of a young lady that moved to an outreach church from out of the Lebanon area, and she had a vision for reaching the people in the town where their church was, and she started something on a very small effort. It was just her and maybe another girl from church, and you know what? Eventually that work grew so big, the church was asked to get involved to help support it. And that really blesses me because one person, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes maybe, and it was used to reach into the community, to touch the community, connect with them. Praise God. A quote I'll share with this is, God doesn't require us to succeed. He only requires you to try. Sometimes we hold off from trying something because we don't want to fail. God wants us to try. Another area, investing in neighbors. I had a good example of this growing up. My mom, I don't know how many people she has helped in their elderly years or sickness, whatever it was. There was an old neighbor man and woman when I was very young growing up, and I remember going over to their place, and my mom was very involved in their lives, helping them with medication, taking them to the hospital, doctor's visits. Yeah. Spent a lot of time over there. And even after they passed away, it only went so long, and she found someone else to take care of in the community there. And I think it's phenomenal when we see needs or recognize or run across a door opens and we step in and we can connect with people and make a difference in their life that way. Some of yous know, and this is a personal side of it, some of yous have met our neighbor Al, and what started as a simple relationship at the tire shop, talking about horses and different things, figured out, oh, we're neighbors. It morphed into a relationship. I'm not even sure that Cheryl and I quite understand, or our family understands, the depth of it. Al has made it clear how much our family and our acceptance of him to be a part of that just means the world to him. In fact, he said, I don't think you realize, it's all I can do just to not come see you like every day. He said, I have to restrain myself or else I would just be here all the time. And, you know, while it's great to have connections like that with people and have good neighbor relationships, you know, there's also things that you get to deal with or work through with neighbors like that. And sometimes there's sacrifice or things that you can't do or you have to deal with because of that. But is it worth it to me to connect with, to make a difference in someone's life and in a neighbor's life, to be a blessing? Sometimes I think Al, I've learned things from him in that relationship. I think he understands the joy of sacrificing and giving maybe better than I do. He has a little shop at his house and he makes things for his friends. There's different people that have asked him to. He does welding and different little projects. He makes things out of horseshoes. And he said, there's people that have asked me to make this stuff so they can sell it in their store. He said, I won't do it. He said, I make this stuff for my friends, and I give it to them, and I'm selfish. I do that so I can feel good. He has the vision. So many times we're like, well, here's an opportunity to make money. I'll make these things and sell them at stores. I'll put them in all these. No, he said, this is about me giving and enjoying the joy of giving. That's why I do it. I thank him for that reminder. Do our neighbors know us? Do your neighbors know you? And if so, what do they know you for? What do they see? Do they know you for your Christian life and your testimony? Here's another quote from Mother Teresa. It is not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. And, you know, there's one more thing about Al. He was part of, I think he was president of a horse association, some kind of club, and he worked with a few people, the staff there on that, for a good number of years. And when that quit, they quit doing it, and some of his, yeah, those people that he had worked with for years just disappeared out of his life. And one day he bumped into the one lady at Tractor Supply, and she said, Al, where have you been? We were worried about you. And he said, I looked at her and I said, you weren't worried very much. You live about 2 miles from my house. You didn't drive down and stop in. You have my phone number. You didn't call. How worried were you? People can often tell when we genuinely care, or if we're just being polite or doing the right thing out of obligation. It takes courage. It takes effort to care. Can I care like Christ? We need Christ in our heart if we're going to care like him. I was blessed by Brother Derwin's little story there about Friday night about paying for the elderly lady's groceries. Paying for someone's groceries. And how he just wanted to be nice, and she kind of made a big scene about it and started crying. And he's like, stop, I just want to, you know, I wasn't here to make a big deal about this. I just wanted to pay for your stuff and do a nice deed, right? But, you know, his simple act like that touched her life, I believe, in a significant way. brought her joy and blessed her day. He showed that he cared, and it meant a lot. Obviously, it meant a lot to her. And the quote, "Be kind and merciful. Let no one ever come to you without coming away better and happier." Another example I have, serving in a food kitchen. So recently over the holidays, I heard of an example of a man who, in their circle, they go to church Thanksgiving Day. And it always kind of bothered him that Thanksgiving Day, I think they went to church. But Thanksgiving Day, you know, we stop and we take this moment, you know, and we're thankful for what all God has given us. And then we turn around and go have this big feast celebration that's pretty much all about ourselves. It's about family too, you know, and it's a good thing. But it bothered him that it felt a little contradictory to be thankful and then just go feast and be. And it came a point in their family where I guess maybe the larger part of the family, things kind of splintered off and they stopped doing it on a big scale. And being, I believe God had put it on his heart, and they as a family, they rented a local church in town. And every Thanksgiving, they started having a meal and invited the community. Those who didn't have plans were welcome to show up there. And you know what? There was people blessed by that. And after several years, it got to the size where, again, they couldn't handle it themselves. And the church, his church, got asked to step in and help support this because it was reaching the community. And that blesses me when I hear God lay something on someone's heart and they act upon it. And maybe they feel like it's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but God can use it to bless people and feed multitude. The quote with this, "Each one of them is Jesus in disguise." All those people that are touched is Christ. We're gonna look at that verse where he said, "Ye have done it unto me," here in a little bit. The last one I have is, and I call this the firefighter example. I was listening to a friend recently, how he said he was put in as vice president with the fire company he's serving on, and it's a big responsibility. You know, he wasn't sure if he wanted to be that involved. He's also involved with EMS and also suicide and crisis intervention. So he's often working alongside the police in very intense situations. And because of some of the hard things he's faced in his own life, he has a heart of compassion and love or understanding that often seems to connect, and he's able to work with these troubled ones in a redemptive way. You know, given the choice, I doubt any one of us would pick his life, though. If you were able to say, you know, my life is not that great, and you look around, everyone else is having fun, or everyone else has a good life, I don't think we would choose his due to some of the heartache and hardship he's going through right now. He's gone through and is still working with. But you know what? He's allowed these hard things to cultivate a deeper and closer relationship with God. And instead of feeling sorry for himself, he has invested into his community in ways that most of us can't. And that's awesome when God gives you an opportunity to invest in your community. And like him, you know, it might not be our calling, but it's an illustration of a man taking his time and his opportunity and making a difference. And a quote with this, "A life not lived for others is not a life." There's so many other examples we could look at You know, we didn't even really talk about like singings and visitation, Bible studies, dinners, some of that we kind of touched on, but there's so big of an area. And I want to be clear, we're not all called to, you know, to be the firefighter, the crisis intervention, you know. We might not have that specific neighbor but maybe we didn't check either, you know. But, and we might not be all called to start a soup kitchen, you know. But the challenge is, what is in my heart? Is Christ's love in my heart, and is it connecting with the community? Is it connecting with the people that need it? Does it matter? It does matter, because, and we looked at these verses Friday night. If you were here, I don't apologize. We'll just look at them briefly again. In Matthew 25, 34 through 40, he says, "Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Why are these people blessed? It was what they did. "For I was an hungered, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Jesus gave this account, and he specifically named things that his people will be doing. I don't think they're doing it out of obligation. They're doing it because they have a love, the love of Christ in their hearts. Do I truly know Christ, and is Christ flowing out of my life, or am I making excuses? We talked about that a little bit. The excuses are endless. I know, because I use them sometimes myself. And I'd just like to share a familiar story with you yet. An old man had a habit of walking morning walks on the beach, and one day after a storm, he saw a human figure in the distance, moving like a dancer, he thought. As he came closer, he saw it was a young woman, and she was not dancing, but reaching down to the sand, picking up starfish, and very gently throwing them into the ocean. "Young lady," he asked, "why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" She said, "The sun is up, the tide is going out, and if I do not throw them in, they will die." "But young lady, don't you realize that there are miles and miles of beach and starfish all along it? You cannot possibly make the difference." The young woman listened politely, paused, and then bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it into the sea, past the breaking waves, saying, "It made a difference for that one." The old man looked at the young woman inquisitively and thought about what she had done. Inspired, he joined her in throwing starfish back into the sea. Soon others joined, and many starfish were saved. And the two points I would like to pull out of that story is, the work is overwhelming when we look at it. There's so many people. There's so many needs. And the temptation is to say, well, it's too big. You know, there's no point in even trying to start. Just sit back and enjoy life. But the woman in this story, she didn't let that stop her. She did her part to make the difference to each one. And the second point is that one person's vision made a difference to one by one to the starfish, but then it also impacted the man that came along, and then even more people. And I just challenge you, if God nudges you to reach out to a neighbor, to reach out to the community in some way, some some avenue he's brought into your life or your vision, that you step up to it, that you give your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He doesn't ask you to succeed, he asks you to try, was that one quote. And God can, and he will take care of the rest, I believe. The description Mother Teresa gave herself, she says, by blood I am Albanian. By citizenship, I am an Indian. By faith, I'm a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world, meaning she gave herself to the world. She served the world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus. Again, we're not all called to connect to the community the same way. But I let the challenge for you. Is God calling you? How is God calling you to connect with your community today, this week? Are there open doors for you to pursue, to follow through with? Let's kneel for prayer.